Blog Talk Radio.
Time in all worlds. I think we've got some folks listening in from Australia again. And then, of course, we've got AK in Baltimore and Deb here in Houston. So, good evening, AK. I don't think I was going to say I haven't talked to you all week, and then I forgot. We did a hangout earlier today.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We have to talk.
I'm so memorable, aren't I?
It's been crazy. Now, I was just watching the weather because my daughter in New Jersey was sending me these awful looking pictures of these storms that are rolling through the Northeast again. But everything okay in your neck of the woods?
So far so good. I think it's supposed to hit us a little bit later tonight.
Oh, geez. I tell you, you guys have really, really been whacked with it. That's just not fair.
Yeah. As long as it becomes snow in the winter, I'm okay with that.
Oh, I know. You're crazy. yeah. Nope. I'll shovel humidity every day instead of shoveling that snow. So we've got a special guest with us tonight, and Saima is calling in from Chicago. Hello, Saima. How are you?
Hi, it's Sima, and I'm delighted
Sima,
to be here.
Sima, I do
here.
That. You know what? We were just talking about me spelling your name incorrectly on the show, and then I do the same thing by saying your name wrong. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Don't worry. With a name like Sima, you get used to it.
Well, you know, I like it. So you don't want to be called Saima?
I'm pretty partial to Sima.
Okay.
And my husband says if you have trouble remembering it, just think Sima down now.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I will use that. So you are you actually in Chicago right now, or are you traveling?
I am. I'm in Chicago, born and reared. And no, I'm calling in from the home office.
Very good. Well, it's wonderful to have you. And AK, we will do a formal introduction between the two ladies. So say hello.
Hi, nice to meet you.
AK, nice to meet you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit, I know a little bit about you, and we've met a couple years ago, but why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your company, which is your company out of Chicago.
Sure. Well, like I said, I'm born and reared in Chicago, so I'm a tried and true Chicago gal. I have a four-year-old consulting practice that I'm currently calling Parlay Communications, and our focus is working with business-to-business companies and professional service firms who want to add social media to their marketing mix. Before branching out on my own, I spent 20 years in corporate side marketing. I've worked for large enterprise companies like Business Objects and SAP and small bootstrap startups too, so I've seen both sides of the spectrum. In addition to consulting, we do some content development, community management, but we also provide custom training solutions, everything from social media 101 for staff to tactical how-to community management for marketers. But I think we're perhaps best known for showing sales teams and business development professionals how to practice what I call intentional social networking for business development. And I do quite a bit of public speaking as well. I have to confess I'm recovering from a bit of a summer cold, so I don't normally sound this much like a man. I hope I'm coming through okay.
You're coming through fine. You don't sound like a man.
Good.
Now, if Parlay's only been 4 years, I'm trying to remember when we met in Chicago, because I started following you on Twitter, and then we went to that big epic tweet up with Jenny Dietrich in Chicago across from the Wrigley Field. And I was thinking that was 4 years ago. Had you already had your business then when we met?
Yeah,
do you remember?
I think it's only been 3 years.
Really? God, it seems, I guess it would have been three. Okay.
Yeah, I think so, because I was doing the math as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was right around 3 years. And
you know,
that was such great fun. I met so many people in Chicago that had come from all corners of the world. Their travels,
yes,
brought them through Chicago for the epic tweet up, and here we are connected still.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, and, you know, because I was just getting started on Twitter and following a few folks, and then, of course, after the tweet up, followed a few more, and it's I love social media.
and now look at you.
I know. And AK, I think, AK and I met via social media and Blog Talk Radio, and we started doing the show together long before we actually met in person.
Yeah, we sure did.
We're weird.
And then when we met in person, we were BFFs.
Yeah, LOL.
I have some of those relationships, too, that I've met people on Twitter and forged a friendship that, you know, moved to the phone, and then eventually get to meet that person in real life. And it seems so strange. Oh, I'm meeting a Twitter friend. It sounds frivolous,
mm-hmm,
but it's not. You know, these are true friendships that I've forged online, and in some cases, business relationships. But I find that lately my schedule's been a little bit hectic, and I haven't had enough time to have those meaningful, lasting engagements in Twitter these past few months. So I'm trying to carve out more time to reignite some of those relationships.
Now, what does your husband think about the social media? Is he on social media?
Well, that's an interesting question, Deb. My husband is on social media for two reasons. One, to keep an eye on his wife. And, quite frankly, we have a lot of mutual friends through work in Chicago, and he said it started to be a problem when people at his office were saying, oh, I see you're doing this or that or the other thing. And he had no idea how they found out, and he realized that was the source. So he joined social media networks to keep an eye on what I was doing. But I'll tell you, he is a home brewer, an avid home brewer and a certified beer judge. And I have learned in the last few years that there is an entire underground cult-like community of avid home brewers who have their own social networks where they share tasting notes and trade beers across the country. And he doesn't really think of that as social media, but it absolutely is. It's just a very tight niche. I will say he came home today quite happy to tell me that he'd been having problems with a vendor of his at work and wasn't getting any response from phone call after phone call. And he said, and I found their Facebook page, and so I left them a note. So I think he's catching on. But, you can find him on the homebrewing websites for sure.
We'll have to check that out. AK, she's kind of speaking your language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
AK is a – do you actually make wine yet, AK?
No. Make one day. I have my eye on a couple of kits, but not quite there yet. But actually, Jeff, he used to do homebrew a little bit. He still has all the equipment. He just hasn't done it recently.
Well, my husband's taking it to a new level this summer. He's growing hops in our backyard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that does that. That is pretty cool.
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, on the social media part, you know, we know that a lot of brands, you know, are capturing those social media headlines. You know, they're big consumer brands like your Starbucks and, of course, your Old Spice and Skittles. Is there a play for B2B brands as well?
Oh, now you're talking my language. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a lifelong B2B marketer and professional services. But the thing to remember is a B2B sale is a considered purchase. The sales cycle is considerably longer than it is for a consumer purchase. It sometimes is as long as a year or more. So coupons and short-lived gimmicks may not be the best approach for a B2B brand on social media. I think it's critical for the B2B marketer to find their target buyers online, and then strive to consistently educate and entertain and otherwise engage them in the brand conversation. And that takes considerable effort. And oftentimes it's hard to find the B2B buyers where they're congregating. For example, some years ago I worked for a software company in the enterprise resource planning space. And this is by no means sexy software. It is an expensive purchase. It takes years to install. And companies on average replace their ERP systems once every 10 years. So when we're doing marketing to ERP potential prospects, we're marketing for a long time consistently to try and stay top of mind so that when they finally do an RFP, we get invited to the process. So if you think about stitching social media into that, it really is a sustained effort. And like I said, I think it's challenging to find your target prospects online and consistently deliver content that is of value to them. There's some standouts doing a phenomenal job. I like to cite networking giant Cisco. They've taken some serious creative risks and launched some really innovative campaigns over the past few years. And they recently even created their own technology news website called The Network, which is just a fascinating play on aggregating news, not just about their products, but the industry at large. And I had the good fortune to hear Linda Boff. She's the head of global digital marketing at GE. She was speaking to the Business Marketing Association here in Chicago not too long ago, and they're doing some amazing things as well. She cited their experiments on Pinterest as being the largest driver of website traffic over anything else they were doing that quarter. And this was just a few months ago that I heard her speak, and IBM's another one to watch, doing some amazing things. They just won an award from B2B Magazine for their social media integration into their last users conference. Really impressive.
Now, AK, you're getting ready to do a whole workshop on Pinterest, aren't you? Didn't I just see you upload something
yep,
to SlideShare Pinterest? So are these
good sites, to know. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I was going to say, are these sites that you've seen on Pinterest? Because I'm not one to follow, you know, like GE, but I might go out there now and search and say, okay, what are they? How are they using Pinterest? And
well, I've got a board set up on Pinterest for B2B brands on Pinterest. So, so you can check that out. I try to pin them because I find it motivating and fascinating, and it certainly is, you know, this is early stages of how we're using this new platform, so I'm sure it will evolve in the months ahead.
Well, AK is an official Pinterest holic or pinner or what, I don't know, what's the term we should use now for those of you like you, AK, that just pin like crazy for good reason.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably not a good word.
She was even on the local news in Baltimore talking about Pinterest.
Really?
It's a local Pinterest celebrity.
Well, okay, I'll have to find your boards and check it out.
I probably spend more time on it than I should, but I like to think it's all research for my clients.
Well, why don't we talk about smaller companies? You know, do you have to be an industry giant to be able to pull things like this off?
No, and in fact, I think sometimes the small B2B shops get dismayed because it looks like you have to be like a Cisco and IBM, and it looks like they've had overnight success with social media, but I know for a fact there's a lot of trial and error that goes on behind the scenes. I really think the key for any company, large or small, is to start with the end goal in mind and keep it realistic. I see lots of great examples of very specific social media campaigns. For example, a professional service firm that is trying to lift up the visibility of their thought leaders. I have a client that used social media expressly for talent acquisition, and they cite some phenomenal statistics, able to reduce the cost of staffing by some 65% by being really focused in how they used social media. So those very specific goals can be more easily achieved with a You know, I like to say create an iterative roadmap. You know, think 90 days out. You know, the days of a three-year rolling plan are long gone. Just what is it you want to do? You've got to start somewhere. And you have to be willing to take some thoughtful risk and know that some things may not work. Failure is a word you've got to get comfortable with. And B2B firms tend to be a little risk adverse. So I think one way to encourage them to move forward is with more awareness and education of what it's all about, what it takes to be successful. I think that's a big missing piece of the puzzle.
Well, and how should they go about trying to establish this awareness and this education so that they're more aware of that roadmap that they should be working on and that strategy?
Yeah, you know, it varies organization by organization, but typically when clients come to us for a social media strategy or a roadmap, as I call it, you know, you try to figure out who the decision makers are and what their level of understanding of social media marketing is. And what I find is that far too many people think it's quick, it's inexpensive, and it's easy. And the truth, as we all know, that's not always the case. So there's a significant effort in developing the content you need to keep your social media streams full. And so what we try to do is help them assess whether they can manage it in-house, whether they need an agency partner, or perhaps they need to hire staff. Any of the scenarios can work, but really backing them up and saying, this is what it looks like. You know, here's the effort involved. Here's the expected cost to create the content and sustain the effort. You know, and the other side of the equation is educating staff. So I read a great article today about TGI Friday. This was somebody wrote a post about the Burger King debacle. I don't know if you've seen the photo of the person standing in the bins of lettuce that went viral.
Yeah.
Of course, the public was outraged. And in this article, they cited TGI Fridays as a company that has a fairly open social media policy and encourages their staff to share photos of them with celebrities and talk about tips for getting customer service or their favorite menu items, really driving people with education and awareness and encouragement rather than some draconian policy that makes everybody fearful to log on. You know, the buzz that surrounds these blunders like the Burger King one we just mentioned, the Red Cross, the McDonald's, and, of course, my favorite, Gilbert Gottfried, fired as an Affleck duck, right? You know, they catch wind. Executives catch wind of that, and, you know, they become fearful that the same may happen to them. But if we stop and think about it, none of those companies have gone out of business. Now, a few people may have lost their jobs, but the companies are still standing strong. They're willing to take some risks, willing to fail or to apologize and keep moving forward. Those are some new skills that these companies have to learn.
You know, and I know AK and I have talked about this before, and I think AK went mute. Are you still there, AK?
Yeah, I was hearing a crazy echoing for a little bit.
Oh. We've talked about Ramon de Leon there in Chicago with Domino's and his efforts to help Domino's out of their social media crisis that they had several years ago. And he kind of like a one-man show, and everybody just followed. But if more brands educated, as you were saying, educated their support team and their staff, then it wouldn't need to fall on the shoulders of one person.
Absolutely. And, you know, the days of the personal brand versus the professional brand, the business brand, I mean, there's no reason they can't all work in concert. When an employee shares the great work they're doing at their organization, they're proud of it, or, hey, my company's donating to this charity and I'm proud of it, all of that lifts the business brand up as well. So I think encouraging, enabling, educating that, and, of course, there's an element that has to come from the top down. So if you work in an environment where if somebody walks behind you and you've got Facebook open on your laptop and you're busted, Well, that's no, you know, culture to encourage employees to contribute to the brand social media stream. So it's really got to be a top-down and a bottom-up education and a team effort.
And part of the team are your sales professionals. And are your sales professionals within the organization usually, in your opinion, are they willing to engage in the social media? They're the ones who are out there doing the the selling itself.
Right, client facing. You know, mm-hmm. It's funny. We think of salespeople as being outgoing and gregarious and, aggressive networkers, but I find that it's the rare business development professional or sales professional who really thinks there's a value in any of this social media. Now, they're out there. There's certainly salespeople on Twitter and having fun on Facebook and whatnot. But my clients, you know, typically an insurance firm or financial services, you know, CPAs, accountants, employee benefit advisors, these folks, they really don't want to be bothered with it. But they do think there's value in LinkedIn. And so a lot of what we do is help sales teams learn to unleash the law of attraction, if you will, on LinkedIn with intentional social networking. You know, for personal branding to say, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is how I can help you, here's what a referral looks like. There's a real subtle but systematic art to doing that on social networks. And salespeople who embrace that continually report having more meaningful conversations with prospects that they couldn't prior, you know, weren't able to reach before, and attracting more opportunities. It really is a powerful tool if you know what you're doing.
Amen.
Well, you know, and I have to say, you know, selfishly, I did this for myself 4 years ago when I went from corporate marketing veteran largely in the high-tech space to business owner. You know, the first year I was on my own, most of the referrals I got from my network were for job leads. They weren't for clients. And so it took a while for me to reposition and rebrand myself in my new space as a consultant and a speaker and a trainer. But, you know, my business is a 100% referral and was able to effectively do that through this, you know, intentional use of social networks. So I know it works.
Well, I think, and I've seen or I've heard you call it the what is your definition of the sway factor?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people like to talk about, you know, oh, I'm not tech savvy. In using tools like LinkedIn or Facebook, I don't think it comes down to tech savvy because most people are bright enough to figure out where to click. You know, they can navigate it, an intuitive user interface, and figure out how to get stuff done. What they don't know how to do is what to do. Like, log in and it's like a deer in headlights. What am I supposed to be doing here? So the sway factor system is my answer to that. It doesn't mean you can't log into Facebook and have fun playing Mafia Wars or Farmville, whatever. But when your intent is to attract opportunities, then I want you to think of the sway factor system in this way. It's just three basic principles. The first one is practice consistent indirect marketing. And what are we marketing? We're marketing our own personal brands. So consistent indirect marketing, not any overt sales, but general reminders who we are, what we do, and why we're special. And then the second tenet is to make frequent digital deposits. And those are the small actions we take online, sometimes without even thinking about it, to stay top of mind with our brand champions, our top prospects, our most important customers. You know, lots of time I'll be on Facebook and somebody shares good news and I just drop a comment or I give it a thumbs up, and that puts me back on their mental radar. And there's a way to do that on LinkedIn as well. And the last one is simple enough. Pledge unwavering personal commitment. Pledge unwavering personal commitment, because it only works if you work it. And nobody can do this for you. I mean, a personal brand by design is something you own. So I really encourage everybody to be their own chief marketing officer and step up to the plate and take ownership of it.
And it's fun.
And I hope I didn't sound a little preachy there. I get passionate about this because I've just seen it work so many times when people have a framework or guidelines on how to behave and what to do. It works.
I just want to make sure. I thought she was going to come on. So I have a question for you. And I was just looking in the chat. I think we've got a new blog post coming up here soon that's going to be talking about that digital deposits. I like that term.
Yeah. Digital deposits. I mean, you know how it is. If anybody's important to you, you have to make investments in them with time and, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's just the balancing act we do in life. You know, you have to, you're a mom and a business owner and a partner and a friend and whatever, you know, all the hats you wear, and you have to make deposits into all those communities. On social networks, it's so easy to drop in on people that are important to you and weigh in on their stream
mm-hmm.
and stay visible and stay active. Just has to be intentional.
Yeah, and you're talking about building that personal brand and, you know, building that army of brand champions. Well, if they don't know who you are, what you represent, what your personality is like, which we can all do very easily on and social marketing and social technology, and I think that's why some shy away from it, because they're afraid. They're afraid to get in front of that camera or that video, or they're afraid to position themselves even behind the scenes and let everybody know who they really are, and they shouldn't be.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, when people and the other thing people, I think, are afraid of is showing the personality or passion outside of the professional confines. So I see so many LinkedIn profiles that are so dry and stale, and there's really no personality there. And I find the most fascinating people, right? We buy from people we know, like, and trust. Well, if you even want me to get to know you, let alone like you, you've got to be sort of interesting. And I'm a big believer in stitching in your sense of personality, your sense of humor, and your authentic voice into all that you do online, because when you ultimately show up for the engagement, what they're going to get is you. No sense pretending to be somebody else.
Right. Well, a lot of this information, you know, we're talking about business organizations and leaders and teams on how to build that social presence. But what about those that are actually really job seekers that are looking for employment? What kinds of things should they be thinking about?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. The best way to find a job is to be referred into a job. And I should know, Deb, I don't know if you've seen my LinkedIn profile lately, but I've had more jobs than boyfriends. And, you know, once you start to build a strong network who knows what your value is, it's far easier to find your next employment opportunity. Because, like you said, you've got this army of brand champions, feet on the street, helping you land in your next position. So I think it's really important that job seekers sort of figure out their personal brand, their story, their introduction, their unique value, and are able to quickly articulate it offline and online, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two work hand in glove. Same too for what I call career climbers or ladder climbers, you know, folks who are gainfully employed but trying to move up a rung. You know, intentional social networking can attract all manner of opportunity, whether it be an opportunity to speak at an industry event or byline a column for a trade journal or serve on a prestigious board. Many of these are examples from my own life where people have come to know me, maybe meet me once, but then continued interaction online, and they say, hey, you know what, I've got this opportunity and I think you'd be perfect for it. That's quite frankly, how I landed at Lake Forest Graduate School of Management as part of their adjunct faculty. A friend of mine who I knew from my tech marketing days, called me up and said, you know, Sima, they're looking for somebody to teach social media. Would you be interested? And the fact that I had been able to rebrand myself and reposition myself in this woman's mind, really through our social connections, to me is just nothing short of miraculous.
Mm-hmm. I have a question that I've seen here through the messaging. If you're a job seeker, and you know, you're out there and you're trying your best to build that presence and that awareness, you really can't put yourself in that position that your employer knows that you're seeking employment. What kind of tips can you offer them so that they're letting the public know in an indirect way that they're looking to move up or on or out or whatever that might be?
Yeah, you know, that's a fabulous question, and I honestly get that quite a bit. My answer is usually something like this. You just have to make sure that your online profiles and your presence, your accomplishments, your achievements, all your keywords are visible, especially on LinkedIn. And it's really very subtle, but more often than not, recruiters are looking for candidates, both active and passive, on keyword searches, long string keyword searches, old school Boolean search, using some of the advanced tools on LinkedIn. So, you know, one of the things I recommend is print out your dream job. You find your dream job online, print that out, circle all the big keywords, and make sure they're stitched into your profile. So those searches pick you up. And, you know, from the very top of your profile, from the headline all the way on down. And then talking about the work you do in your status updates, you know, really excited to launch, a social media campaign for a new client this week. Those kinds of posts further underscore your personal brand and the work you do. Now, just like in the days before social media, we ultimately have to figure out who we can trust. You know, probably once a week I get a note from somebody who says, you know, between you and me, it's time to move on. So please keep your ears open for X, Y, and Z. And so we still have to do that. We still have to trust people and tell people. But from a passive standpoint, I really encourage job seekers to really polish their online profiles so that they're attractive to those people looking for them.
Right, and I see our good friend Cake Room from Australia has logged in the chat, and she offers a piece of advice. She says that the old rules still apply. Build connections and relationships, invest ahead, and especially early in your career, and I couldn't agree more. It's those relationships that you build, that trust with, that, as you just said, somebody can reach out and say, okay, just between you and I, I'm ready to move on. Keep your eyes and ears open, and that's because you've built these strong relationships.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, well said.
So what other caution and that you can offer clients about pitfalls of social media? I mean, there's going to be issues and crises, as we were talking earlier.
Right.
But how can you possibly avoid the unavoidable?
Right. No, that's a fair question. Well, the first conversation I usually have with a prospective client is the jagged little pill speech, as I call it, where, you know, social media is not your superhero. So if your marketing is weak or your sales are sloppy, no amount of social media, I mean, particularly in the B2B and professional services space, can solve those problems for you. So if you're looking, you know, to social as your savior, that's the wrong reason to go there. However, if you've got smart marketing and you're able to close some sales, social strategies can absolutely amplify what's working well. So that's the first conversation. So the first pitfall is, don't think it's going to fix your bad marketing or bad sales. Another common one is not to bite off more than you can chew. I have seen this so many times. The gung-ho business owner or the, you know, super achiever marketer tries to launch all of these social campaigns, outposts, and streams simultaneously. And ultimately, it becomes overwhelming, and they usually bail on the effort. And I would rather see clients start slowly, do one thing well and build, than have a lot of really half-baked, you know, social litter all over the web. It doesn't look good. It doesn't send a good message. So start slow. Slow and steady wins the race. I think people feel a lot of pressure that they should be doing more because we see these big brands doing amazing things. But, you know, this isn't going away, and it's an evolution. So wherever you are now is the right place to start at the beginning. Another favorite pitfall of mine is that companies still underestimate the effort required to keep the content flowing. This is by far one of the largest hurdles companies face. And the truth is, they have so much content in their organizations, but it's a matter of repurposing it, recycling it. I have a friend who says repurpose, reuse, recycle for these social streams. So your white paper becomes a series of blog posts, which become a series of tweets, and thinking through that editorial calendar, there is some heavy lifting involved in doing that. So I think a lot of companies underestimate the effort that goes into doing that and doing it well. And then finally, I think the one caution I have, and I learned this one myself the hard way, is to mind your return on networking investment. I talk to salespeople a lot about return on networking investment because there is a law of diminishing return. So absolutely, social networking will amplify their traditional business development efforts. It's a great way to stay connected to clients between renewal dates, right? Or when you can't get on the golf course. And you know, you meet somebody at a networking event, and what do you do with those business cards? Rather than just dump them into your CRM, you get connected online. It's all good. But at some point, you still have to do all the traditional work that drives the sale forward. So I don't subscribe to anyone who says, you know, you've got to be doing social networking an hour or more a day. And nobody has an extra hour. Instead, I'd rather see people start with 5 minutes here or there, 5 minutes a day, 30 minutes a week, and make it a habitual routine stitched into their natural workflow. So it's an extension of the way you work rather than one more thing you have to do. So, you know, I've fallen victim to this where you go to do a little research on a prospect online. The next thing you know, you're chasing links into the wee hours of the morning, and, you know, you've just lost however many precious hours of sleep.
Right.
For clients who have no self-control, I tell them to set an egg timer, whatever it takes.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it easily turns into a spider web of the next site, the next site, the next site, and you get so busy that I get distracted. And as my friend Laura says, you know, something shiny got in the way, and
right.
It really does. You were mentioning the recycling earlier, and I know from one of my favorite brands, Computer Explorers, and I know some of them are listening. I saw something come out earlier today talking about their use of e-newsletters to recycle some of your really good posts or newsletters or content and recycle it. One of my great friends in New Jersey did just that and recycled something that was really, really good a few months ago and recycled it and used it currently and ended up getting a client out of it. So
oh, I love it.
If it was good before, and if it still applies, it's good today. So why not, you know, reuse it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that just takes a little bit of forethought and time to consider your content assets. Where are the gaps? And how can you stitch that together into an integrated campaign of you know, sharing information that's useful to your target buyer?
Mm-hmm. good. I Poe has a lot to add tonight, so
and he's all the way downstairs, and I have the door shut.
Oh, he doesn't bother me, and I just like, so you might as well just acknowledge, you know, Poe that is sort of kind of in the room saying hello, and you'll probably hear my dogs here soon replying to Poe. One of the things you and I talked about not too long ago is being an author and how, you know, you have to set time for writing a book, and I know you've put one book aside because you're a co-author of other books, but the one that I saw on your website is you know, Making Your Connections Count. Can you tell us a little bit about that chapter and you know, what's next for your personal brand?
I am when haven't you met a person who's working on a book? It's sort of, I mean, I try to say it with a straight face, but I was getting waylaid, so I participated in a multi-author book called Make Your Connections Count, and I wrote a chapter on personal branding and how the brand is you and how to really take ownership of your brand in this digital age, much about what we've been talking about today. And, in fact, I enjoyed the experience so much that I agreed to do another one. I've got another anthology book, as they call them, coming out with Brian Tracy and Dr. John Gray, called Words of Wisdom. And I'm talking more in that one about the offline meets online aspects of networking and how to integrate both. So I've really enjoyed doing that. But truth is, I am in the final stages of my own book on the Sway Factor system. I'm working with a wonderful writer who's helping me get out of my own way and make sense of my words. She's just a joy to work with, and I hope to self-publish that by end of year. And I had wanted to have that done this time last year, so I'm really on a mission to crank it out. And then, you know, there's more exciting things going on. I have to admit, Deb, I'm a little bit of the cobbler's shoeless child with my own marketing. You know, you can do it for other people,
right,
but it's hard to do it for yourself. So I finally decided it's time to my business in just 4 years has evolved so much that we're going to launch a brand new brand. And I haven't publicly announced this yet. So just for your listeners, only a handful of people know, we're going to retire Parlay Communications and rename and reemerge as the Sway Factory.
Which
just feels so right. Building, you know, brands and driving sales through social media in the B2B space. And the new website will really focus more on our consulting packages, our training solutions, and of course my speaking business. So, you know, and then I'm going to say this out loud because it will hold my feet to the fire. I've been doing almost exclusively corporate training for, you know, the enterprise. And people keep asking me, when can I have it? And I finally decided that I'm going to do it. I'm going to launch my Sway Factor training. We're going to do it on the web, and it will be for small business owners and entrepreneurs and independent sales reps, and I'm targeting Q4. So there is a lot going on behind the scenes. And then, you know, I still write for Social Media Marketing Magazine, and I write for Marketing News Magazine, so I try to stay out of the bars. busy. But I'm really excited to bring some of these things to market now that I have a clear line of sight of how we best help our clients.
Well, and that's tough. I mean, I can't even imagine what your calendar looks like and trying to keep your own organization together as you're trying to coach and consult others to be focused. You've just got so much on your plate that multitasking sometimes isn't really the answer if you're trying to sit down and focus on that next chapter of the book.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I've learned, you know, I have the best intentions, but it's a classic, you know, entrepreneurs or small business owners conundrum. You always put the client first. And so when I have a day set aside for writing, if I even log into my email, I might as well just give up right then and there, because there's always somebody needing something or an exciting opportunity or, like you said, a shiny object.
Right.
So,
when I called you, you've been very busy the last couple of weeks. But look, we were really shiny, and you agreed.
You were very shiny, and plus, I just adore talking to you. I always learn something, and I think this is such a great program. I'm so honored to be a part of it.
Oh, you're so funny. I know, and you have talked, I can't imagine how your throat must feel, but how about any last thoughts that you have for our listeners before we release you?
Last thoughts. So in summary, I think I encourage people to think, you know, for a long time we were in this information age, and it was this, you know, volumes of information at our fingertips, and now we almost have too much information to make sense of anymore. You know, big data, what do we do with it? And I think we've moved into this age of referral. And in this age of referral, you know, it's getting increasingly difficult to separate personal context from professional context. I truly believe every member of your network is a potential referral source. And that could be a referral for a new chimney sweep or a new job or a new client. Honestly, I mean, we turn to people we trust for referrals and recommendations. So I'm a big believer that, you know, to your point earlier, people have to get comfortable showing up in social streams, being authentic, showing a little leg, right? Showing their personality and looking after their personal brand. And be your own chief marketing officer and your own best champion. And I think there's an opportunity for forward-thinking companies to embrace this mindset and engage employees in the conversation, and collectively everybody's brand gets lifted. And I think the companies that win the recruiting race in the next few years will be those who really encourage engagement, employee engagement and culture and involvement in all this social evolution. I think social business is a phrase we're all going to learn quite a bit about in the next 24, 36 months as these technologies become pervasive in not just our marketing departments or our recruiting departments, but, you know, in all areas of the business. It's an exciting time, and I'm really looking forward to see what comes next.
I am too, and then you never know what social platforms are going to be around in the next, I'd say the next year, but even in the next few months.
Absolutely. I mean, I laugh. I'm still on Plaxo. I don't even know if people remember Plaxo. But I still get alerts that people are joining Plaxo, so I haven't quit it yet. But
I bet AK's on it. AK has you'd love this. We did a count one month. We did a challenge to ask AK how many platforms she had a presence on. And at that time, which, gosh, I think this has been a year ago, wasn't the count up past 60, AK?
Yeah, like that, yeah.
So I can't even imagine where you are now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a little obnoxious.
And it's not only that she joins, she joins and she's engaged in a lot of them.
A lot of them.
But
not all of them. Well.
Yeah. A lot.
That's impressive.
So tell us how, I know where to follow you, but tell everybody where they can find you.
You know, I came up with this moniker, Sima Says, as a joke. Quite frankly, it was early. I've been on LinkedIn since 2003. I was one of the first 115,000 people that joined LinkedIn. So I'm like, you know, old fart on LinkedIn. And I came up with the custom URL, Sima Says, sort of as a joke, you know, the only child thing. I don't know. And it stuck. So I am Sima Says on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Pinterest and LinkedIn and all the likely hangouts. I just stuck with one name. So you can always find me that way. And I would love to connect with your listeners Because if they listen to your show, then I know they're smart and fun people.
So funny. So, well, you know, we're both AK and I, and AK Priority has, we're going to check out your Pinterest boards because I don't think we're connected there. We're connected everywhere else. And then, hey, AK, we're going to do a Google Hangout one morning with Summa, and then we can just take the conversation to Google. And we'll invite Poe.
And I'll invite my dog. It'll be great.
Oh, great, yeah. And
that's what we did on our hangout this morning.
I was going to say, we were all working from home, and we were with some great folks from Google, and there we are, you know, with our pets. You know, we had to explain why they were there and what's their ailments and things, but it was very family-friendly.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you feel better. You sound like you're getting better, and you've been a great guest, and we'll catch you on all the social networks.
Oh, thank you so much, AK. Thank you, Deb. This was wonderful fun, and I hope I added some value to your show.
I know you did. Okay, we will talk to you soon.
Great.
Thank you.
Let's see. Oh, there it is.
The kind you listen to with mother. Social hit.
Okay. I think we actually had some folks listening in, and they were doing the Google Hangout. Shade was going to try to do that. I didn't open up her phone line, but I believe we might see a little test of a Google Hangout and Social Geek Radio before we actually do the real thing next week. So, AK, I know you're having some internet issues, but do you have some Geek It Out sites for us tonight you want to share?
Yeah, I do, kind of. Yeah, I'm trying to remember them by memory because I don't know why my internet's not working. And that storm finally rolled in, so now it's lightning. I think that's why Poe's crazy.
Poor thing.
Yeah. All right, so this one, tweetbyemail.com. So it's spelled just as it sounds, tweetbyemail.com.
Yep. And I actually have
And mm-hmm. you can, you subscribe by... Or you just create an account, and then you can put in somebody's Twitter URL. Like if you go to tweetsbyemail.com/, and you put in AK-18, or you put DebCE, then you can give that URL out to people, and they put in their email address, and they hit subscribe. And then when you tweet, they get email alerts of your tweet. So it might not be good for somebody like you and I when we tweet 900 times a day. But
for
a business, when you're only tweeting a couple of times a day, very valuable information, not that not tweeting of value, but, you know, if you have a competitor you want to keep an eye on or just a really good influencer that you want to make sure you don't miss their tweets, you can subscribe to their tweets. So even if they have not joined this site, you can still do tweetsbyemail.com/ and their username, put your email in and subscribe to their tweets.
Oh, good. So if I heard you correctly, let's just say... Fred is not on Twitter, but he wants to see what Jane is saying on Twitter. Simon's husband really wants, he doesn't want to be on Twitter, but he wants to watch what she's doing.
So exactly.
He would subscribe this way. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. The next one is, we can do the one you sent me today. Widgetbox.com.
Oh, and I have to confess where I got that one. So before I actually go there, our friend Cindy Perkins has a new blog. It is right now it's just cindyperkins.wordpress.com, and we've talked about her getting ready to go to Paris here for 2 months, and she's done a travel log, and so she's getting this blog going, testing the waters and adding all these new widgets to it. Well, her son out of Minneapolis today said, oh, look what I found. I found this widgetbox.com, so I quickly forwarded it to you. But it looks pretty cool on the widgets that you can add to your blog or your website.
Yeah, it's really customizable. I actually, once I got into it, I hadn't used it before to do a Twitter widget on a blog that I was doing, because for one reason or the other, the actual real Twitter widget from Twitter wasn't working. So you can create like a Twitter feed widget in here. I actually, after you sent it to me, I created just a brief little contact form widget to add to my blog just to see how it would work. And it worked great. So for free, it has a little advertisement that pops up along the bottom. If you want to pay for the pro, you can get rid of the ads. I didn't really care about the ads. But, yeah, there's a ton of different options for things to add to the sidebar of your blog.
Well, actually, there's one that I'd like to see, and I know that Cindy would be interested in, is the video gallery. So a video gallery or the slideshow. So I'm thinking I want to take a look at it, the slideshow where it could just roll pictures, which for a travel blog looks like it would really be cool. So, again, I have to thank Chris Perkins for sharing that one. So that, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the website also looks like there's a spot to make a mobile application.
Yes. Yes, I did see that.
I didn't look at that section yet, but that might be cool to check out.
Yeah, no, the widget gallery is just, it's loaded with stuff. So if you want a cyber pet on there, I don't think I do, but who knows?
I do.
There's all kinds of widgets on there. You said you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The next one, I don't know if I've mentioned it. I may have mentioned this before. Somebody else may have even mentioned it before, but it's helpareporter.com.
It's a good one to bring up.
Yeah, so, and actually, this was really useful for me today for one of my clients. So I subscribe to helpareporter.com, which means that actually 3 times a day I get it, and I'm sure you can customize it to get it less than that. But morning, afternoon, evening, I get an email notification that has basically reporters looking for people to contribute to stories. So it's broken down by category. It's a brief detail about what the reporter needs, and usually they don't even want you to call them or anything. There's a general email on there that's been assigned to them through the site, and you can email them your details, and then they decide whether or not they want to use you as a source for your story. But it's a really great way to get some media exposure in whatever industry you're in. I mean, there's health, there's finance, there's business, there's stuff for kids. So I subscribe to it for all of the different categories, since I have clients in all different categories. And then when something pops up that's relevant to their fields, I forward it to them, and I say, you know, hey, you might want to contact these people and see if there's an opportunity here for you.
You know, this has been around for a really, really long time. And then it's become popular again because of all the social platforms.
Yeah, I've for some social media stuff, I've submitted some stuff, and I've been quoted a couple of times. So really, I mean, these people are great reporters. You know, they just are looking for sources, and if they can go to one site and sort of get people coming to them, how cool is that for them? So it's really good for both parties.
Yep, very good. Well, I don't know if you have any more. We're coming down to the end of the show. Do you have any other? Share?
I have one more, but I'm not sure. I got access to it. Apparently, I signed up for it a long, long time ago, and I was sent a secret code today. So I don't know if it's something everybody can get into right now, but it's vizify.com, V-I-Z-I-F-Y.com. And it creates this horizontally scrolling infographic.
Yeah.
And I hooked up my Facebook, my LinkedIn, my Twitter, and my Foursquare. And I can basically, it's like 11 pages of scrolling, almost infographic about myself that I can go through. So I was kind of thinking I might like take screenshots of each of the pages and then create a vertical infographic of myself just for fun.
It looks really cool. We'll have to test it out. And our Blog Talk Radio operator is saying that we're down to the wire here, so we're going to have to go. Very good. Thank you. Even through your internet issues, you still come through with all these great geeking out sites. Now I have to go pen them and put them on our Pinterest, or my Pinterest board. Oh, no wonder I couldn't pin it. Twitter was down earlier today, and Pinterest, you're breaking it all egg, hey?
I know. My internet's not working. Pinterest, Twitter, good golly.
Okay, we'll get it. And I see that Laurie's asking in the chat, you know, please, Facebook or Pinterest, please. We'll get them posted somewhere. Everybody have a good night. Be safe. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.